Welcome in Lineup Logic. This is Alex Remezowski coming at you once again, talking some PGA Tour. I'm going solo again this week. Confident, very confident it will not be just me for next week. Remember the PGA Tour, it's a 4-week playoff season. So we got a lot coming up here. It's going to be a good one. The field we're looking at this week pretty much looks like a major. There's a lot to think about, a lot to be gained here in terms of an edge on the field. It's 125 players, the best of the best. We got some withdrawals. We got some definite things to talk about. We got the Ryder Cup coming up. We have this crazy PGA Tour playoff FedEx Cup standing system. Just knowing how it all works will give you an edge over probably over half of the people actually playing DFS this week, the next 4 weeks. So we're going to break all of that down. I'm going to give you a quick recap on last week. I'm going to give you a quick recap on how these playoffs actually work for anyone who's just getting into this. It can really, really provide some insight, and I think it can really kind of show you what's going on in terms of who you want to play, who you don't want to play, who's got the potential, who's trying, who's not trying, who's going to be at the tournament, who's not, who you'll see next week, who you might not see next week. So to start off, I just want to remind everyone, patreon.com/lineuplogic. It's where you can get in. You can get in our Slack chat. You can get all of our cheat sheets, our whole community. It's a growing community. It's a great one. I've got some good people posting content every single day. I think the best part about it, easily the best part, is the Slack chat. It's where you're going to get connected to everything we do. PGA specifically, we have a cheat sheet. I put out a model every week. We have this podcast. Just putting all the information out there for you guys. There's a ton of talk in MLB. Right now, we got some WNBA projections up every single day. MLB projections up every single day. Bouncing ideas off each other. It's a good community. It's very, very, very affordable, and I would highly recommend it. Lineup Logic. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. You can follow me on Twitter at Donald Remington. Donald Remington, R-E-M-I-N-G-T-O-N. My other normal, regular co-host, Mike Alexander at Roto_Juan. And Jared Smith, who we plan to have on here a bit more in the future. Remember, after the playoffs, we still got pretty much weeks and weeks of PGA. It's only a very short break, really, in November. That could be changing in years to come, but for now, not much of a break in there. So, DFS keeps rolling, and so do we. 100%, if there's a slate to play, I'm looking at it. I'm talking about it. I'll be there. So last week, we had the Wyndham Championship. Wasn't the best field in the whole entire world, but we had some big names up top. Some people who we expected to do well. My guy Brant Snedeker ended up taking it down, firing a 59 on Thursday. Absolutely huge. 59, you just go back and look at that score, you'll just wonder what they're even doing playing that course. It was a par 70, so 59 is 11 under. It's pretty impressive. He finished the week minus 21, following up his 59 with a 67, 68, 65. So he was pretty consistent. Second place, right below Brant Snedeker, Webb Simpson and CT Pond at minus 18. Webb Simpson. He was the top priced option last week. It seemed a little funny seeing Webb Simpson up there. It's your highest price on DraftKings. His first round 66 didn't look like anything compared to Brant Snedeker's 59, but hey. He followed that up with a 68, 66, and a Sunday 62. 8 under 62 on Sunday. We knew he liked the course. We knew he named his daughter after the tournament. I mean, come on. So if you're on Brant Snedeker and you fit him in there with Webb Simpson, I am confident you had a good week. There weren't too many huge miscuts. One guy I was on who did miss the cut was Steve Stricker. That was a little disappointing. But I mean, it's Steve Stricker. You can't be that disappointed. It's not like this is Dustin Johnson we're talking about. Steve Stricker, we just thought, there's someone that accuracy play, his selective tournament preference showing up here every year, good course history. Seemed like he was a good pick. He missed the cut by, I believe, 2 strokes. The cut line went from -2 to -3 right at the end there, which I think overall probably helped some people. It helped me. I had a couple good lineups in there with no Brant Snedeker, 0% Brant Snedeker, but having a little bit of Brian Gay, Ryan Moore, Ryan Armour, Billy Herschel, Chris Kirk, who everyone had. That's really 11th place and up right there. So I think a lot of the guys we were on last week did well. I know I saw some positive comments over there in the Slack chat. So hope everybody made some money and is ready to jump into these playoffs this week. So with that said, I'm going to try to keep this quick because we got a lot to talk about here. We got the Northern Trust this week. It's kicking off the FedEx Cup postseason. This is the 12th year of the actual FedEx Cup postseason. The PGA Tour just can't really ever make up its mind and how they want to do things. Changing the schedule around again next year. Of course. Got to keep everyone on their toes. Changing the arrangement of the majors. They're bringing the Players' Championship up to March, I believe. Don't quote me on that. I'll figure it out sometime this winter. And I'll get back to you. For now. We've got the Northern Trust at Ridgewood Country Club. This tournament is the first of 4 in the FedEx Cup postseason, the playoffs. And it's going to feature the top 125 players that are currently the current top 125 in the FedEx Cup standings. Those were points that were accrued during this entire season dating back to last fall. A lot of the fall run, you're awarded a significantly lesser amount of FedEx Cup points for your finish. Winning, you don't get quite as many as you would at most events during the regular season in the last few months. With that said, something that is very interesting is that the way this works, you got 4 tournaments. You got 125 people playing in the Northern Trust this week. After this week, players who make the cut and move on will earn more FedEx Cup points. Next week's the Dell Technologies Open, TPC Boston. The week after that is the BMW Championship. And then the week after that is the grand finale, the Tour Championship at Eastlake. As we, most of us probably know, it's the top 30. like I said, you gain more FedEx points for your finish in each one of these tournaments. So it is important for a lot of these guys. A lot of these guys that are, say, over 50th in point standings right now could technically fall out of those point standings and not make it through to the end. And if you're even closer, you're really at a crunch here. It's the top 125 right now, so if you're sitting in 112th, you might be thinking, okay, I need to finish top 50 this week to secure a spot in the Dell Technologies Open next week. Most people's goal would be to get to the Tour Championship and then see how you can do there. The FedEx Cup champion at the end of all this, points wise, will win $10 million. So that's nothing to shake a stick at right there. $10 million, I think it's safe to say that most of these guys are going to want a piece of that. Right now, topping off the field, you got Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Justin Rose, Bubba Watson, 1-5 in the FedEx Cup standings there. The winner this week gets 2,000 points, which is pretty crazy because that's actually almost four times as much as you would make in some of these regular season events. Something I read earlier, the winner this week will get more points than Brooks Koepka got for the winning the PGA Championship and the US Open combined. So you win this week, it's like, oh, I'm playing two of the four majors, it's fine, I got more FedEx Cup points than anyone that did play in those tournaments. So it's a big deal. If you're in this top 125, you want to perform. We got a couple withdrawals already this week. Ricky Fowler talking a lot about his torn oblique, which was pretty silent. No one really heard much about that until the PGA Championship, where it almost seemed like they were pushing it on him in the interviews. It was, Ricky, how's the oblique? How's your oblique feeling? It was interesting hearing his response. He clearly didn't want to seem like he was overplaying it, but I think it really had to be affecting him. You saw him slow down into the weekend, but with that said, it is Ricky Fowler, and he's always going to slow up at one point, whether it's Thursday or Saturday. Seems like he's always got that one round that doesn't quite work out, and then he backdoors his way into a top 10 or a runner-up. It was interesting with the PGA Championship, though. He was right there, so Thursday, Friday, and then he faded away from there, which, you know, it kind of does make the injury seem real. Anyway, he will not be in the field this week. With that said, he's got plenty enough points to pretty much be guaranteed the next 2 weeks anyway. Rory McIlroy is in the same exact boat. Ricky and Rory are 17th and 21st right now in the FedEx Cup point standing. So they're both going to be in there, and they're going to be in the field for the Dell Technology and the BMW Championship. No questions asked. The Tour Championship, however, they're going to need to do a little something during those previous 2 weeks if they're not playing this week. Henrik Stenson was in the field. No one really knows for sure what's going on with Henrik. He's had injuries. He's banged up. He's played a lot. He's tired. He's not going to be in the field this week. He withdrew. He could end up more of a borderline. You don't really know what's going to end up happening, but I'd be willing to bet that he shows up for the next two following events and likely plays his way into East Lake. Tiger Woods is going to be a big topic of discussion. He's going to be playing this week. He hasn't played 3 weeks straight since 2012. This will be 4 weeks straight. presuming he does well enough to make it to East Lake, which seems like a bit much for Tiger right now. But at the same time, you saw him in the PGA Championship. I felt like he was energized off the crowd alone. Everything going on around him, it seemed like we got a little piece of that old Tiger that really just thrived off the pressure, off the atmosphere, missed fairways, and just ripped it out of the rough and made birdies. It was crazy to watch, and there's only so much you can really say against him at this point. We can all hypothesize, but he was looking good. He was looking very good, but a month straight for him with the back could definitely, definitely get interesting. One more thing I want to talk about before we jump into the course and the field is the Ryder Cup. We got the Ryder Cup coming up next week. And a lot of these teams, a lot of each team, has been decided. But we still got some people on the bubble. We still got captain's picks. Most notably, Tiger and Phil, who I'd say most people are kind of presuming will be on the team. Phil, obviously, more doubtful than Tiger. Tiger says, hey, I'm going to be there either way. I can promise you that. But I'll be at the table making the decision, and if they want me, I'm there. I'm playing. I'm suiting up. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, but really what Tiger's done his past few outings. The lone runner-up in the PGA Championship. I'd say if it was anyone else, it would be pretty much a sure thing that they were going to be a captain's pick, and maybe even more so with, I mean, it's Tiger Woods. So I think a lot of this is health-depending. If he ends up playing 4 weeks straight and then not having much time off, I guess it could cause some complications, but so we'll see. He's got motivation in multiple ways here. I'd say he doesn't need the $10 million. $10 million doesn't hurt. Tiger probably wants a tournament win on the season more than he wants the $10 million for winning the tour championship, winning the playoffs. But we'll see. Some other people in the bubble in terms of the USA team would be Matt Kuchar, Tony Finau, Zach Johnson, Bryson DeChambeau, Xander Schauffele. And then we got Brant Snedeker, who just won last week. Snedeker will not be in the playoffs this year. He wasn't in that top 20, 125. He didn't play in here last year. So we'll see how that all pans out. With that said, Bryson, Kisner, Kuchar, Xander, Finau, ZJ, Phil. They all have something, a little something extra to play for. So I think that's something to keep an eye out for. Ian Poulter on the European team. I mean, I don't know how they could not give him a captain's pick. He's known for the Ryder Cup. It's like Poulter, Patrick Reed, Captain America, Mr. England. So, I mean, Poulter lives for that. He lives for the match play. He lives for the Ryder Cup. He lives for England. We all know that. So, Sergio didn't make the playoffs. That hurts. If we went back to last fall and someone told you Sergio wasn't going to make the FedEx Cup playoffs, I'm sure that would come as a bit of a surprise to most. So, with that said, let's jump right into this week's Northern Trust kicking off the playoffs. It's all going down at Ridgewood Country Club in Paramus, New Jersey. Of course, it's been around since 1929. That's quite some time. It's hosted this tournament, which was formerly known as the Barclays, three times in 2008, 2010, and 2014. It's the first the Barclays was the first event in the playoffs. The Northern Trust is now the first event in the playoffs. So it's all the same. On top of that, it's hosted some other professional tournaments, Senior PGA, Senior US Open, a few others. It actually hosted the Ryder Cup in 1935. So definitely be digging into those stats from 1935. They're going to be super important this weekend. Just kidding. In 2014, the cut was minus one. It's not an easy course by any means. I'd say the number one thing talked about right now, so far, it's being Tuesday, the rough's going to be very, very long. It's almost a 7,400-yard par 71. So you think long hitters. 7,400, par 71, it's going to be long. You want bombers. Not so fast. The rough's long. The greens are going to be fast. They're big greens. They're crazy greens. We're not expecting to see much of a change in the course. So we can look into those 2014 results, the 2014 stats. The greens are a mix of seeded poa, bent grass, and ryegrass. It's a little bit of everything right there. The one thing I know is they're going to be fast and the rough's going to be long. Other than that, I wouldn't say it's tree-lined fairways. It's kind of on and off tree-line fairways. If you're missing fairways, the thing you're going to be worried about is the rough, not the trees. Trees can hurt, but moral of the story is you really, really, really want to be accurate off the tee. But you're not going to be able to hit a 4-iron, a 3-iron, a 2-iron off the tee. You're going to need a little more than that. So I think that's really where things get interesting here. So you don't want to have 200 yards, 200 plus yards into every single green here, because you're going to need to make birdies. If the cut's going to be even minus one, minus two, you got to have birdies. So we have four par threes, ranging 150 to 250. Nothing crazy there for a par 71, 11 par fours. Nine of them are going to be 400 to 500 yards. So nothing crazy long in terms of par fours. And then we got some distance being added on the par fives. There's three of them all over 500. One of them is over 600. This is where distance comes into play. So what I've done this week, as this course kind of begs, is not only look at strokes gained off the tee, driving distance, but I've equally weighed strokes gained off the tee with good drives gained, and then mixed in fairways, approach, ball striking. It's all very big. As is true for every single week, you got to look at approach, ball striking. The ball striking stat includes that. It also includes strokes gained off the tee. So you're going to need to find the proper mix of this if you're really digging into the numbers here. I pulled a couple quotes here that I thought were actually very interesting. The head pro of Ridgewood Country Club, says, "We have a saying around here. Straight is long. Straight is long. It rained a lot lately, and the rough is long and thick." Straight is long. Maybe you don't want to look at distance at all. Maybe you just want to find those guys who can hit it in the fairway. The Ryan Moores of the world. The Matt Kuchers of the world, the Zach Johnsons. This golf calls for someone that can work the ball in both ways. Second shots, leaving yourself in the right position, not missing it, and short-siding yourself. It can end up a disaster. The greens are large, they're firm, they're fast. It's going to be hard to put yourself into a birdie position from the rough. I think those are some of really the key things you want to think about this week. Another stat I read that I thought was pretty interesting are the only three players ranked in the current FedEx Cup standings in the top 10 that are also in the top 100 in driving accuracy. Justin Rose, Francesco Molinari, and Webb Simpson. Three of them. Those are three guys I actually really, really like this week. One last point here we got. So we've seen this current PGA Tour system at this course, Ridgewood, in 2014, 2010, and 2008. Our winner in 2014 was Hunter Mahan. He's not a bomber, I'll tell you that. Did not hit the ball very long. Other people in the top 10 that week: Stuart Appleby, Jason Day, Tringale, Willie McGirt, Ernie Els, Matt Kuchar, Furyk, Nah, Fowler, Reed. 2010, Matt Kuchar won. Accuracy. He's a fairway guy. It was 8 years ago, but it's Matt Kuchar. It always has been Matt Kuchar. 2008, Vijay Singh won. Our other Northern Trust champions over the past 3 years: DJ, Patrick Reed, Jason Day. Jason Day, you're going to see his name a lot. He was in the top 10 in 2017. He won in 2016. He was in the top 10 again in 2016. He won in 2015. Top 10 2014. I believe he has a couple other top 10s here. At least one. So with that all said, let's jump on into this field. Like I mentioned earlier, it's going to look a whole lot like a major. We've got the best of the best. Really, you couldn't expect to have really any less than this. We did have a couple WDs. But this is quite the field we got working here, and it's just going to keep getting narrowed and narrowed. Right off at the top, Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Jason Day are the top three over 10-5. All three of them have done well in this tournament. Dustin Johnson, just every single week, is looking like the guy you want. 10-5 is a pretty big price tag there. In 2014, he actually did not play at Ridgewood. So I think that's actually pretty interesting. JT was not here either because it was 2014. Two things I'm really, really trying to zero in on this week are fairways gained and greens and regulation gained. I'd say a close third would be birdies gained. Looking from 24 to 36 rounds occurring this year, Dustin Johnson, sixth in greens and regulation, first in birdie or better percentage, first in DraftKings points. Not looking great in fairways gained. That scares me a little bit, but I do think DJ is going to be able to pull out a high iron, a three wood, and put it in the fairway and then hit his irons long enough where he's not going to really struggle. A 180 yard approach shot for DJ is equivalent to like a 100 yard shot for most golfers out there. He's going to be hitting like a nine iron. So that's something about him. It's like if you're looking for accuracy, but you know how much of a bonus hitting the ball far can be, I think this is really where someone like DJ can really thrive. And I would almost put Justin Thomas in that same boat. I don't think he does not hit the ball quite as far, but he hits it plenty far. and he can hit fairways. I think he has a tendency to maybe blow up a little more than DJ has. That could be demeanor. That could be a combination of a lot of things. I'm interested in both of them. I'd say I'm probably more interested in Justin Thomas at this point. His past three outings in this event, mind you, not at this course, T6, T10, T16. Justin Thomas, however, is one of my top plays overall at the moment. His fairways gained also not looking fantastic overall for the season, but he seems to have been coming back into form over the past few weeks. Green in regulations, 23rd in the field. Birdie or better, 4th in the field. Ball striking, 2nd. Tee to green, 1st. Bogey avoidance, 9th. Bogey avoidance is also going to be big here. Guys are really going to have to avoid putting up big numbers, as is true in any tournament. And I think that's part of the reason you see Justin Thomas always up there. He can make a mistake here and there. He can have a even par round where you think, oh, maybe Justin Thomas is a little bit out of it this week. He always ends up back in it somehow. So 11-2, I'd probably take him over the top priced DJ at 11-5. Hopping on down to Jason Day. I still feel like I think I've had this take on him for the last 3 or 4 times we've seen him. He ends up underpriced. He ends up overlooked. He finished T17 at the Open, T10 at the WGC Bridgestone, T19 at the PGA Championship. He kind of faded Sunday at the PGA Championship, but he plays well in this tournament every single year. T2, last time we were at Ridgewood. I love him. I love him this week. 10-7. It's a fantastic price. The next two guys down are extremely interesting. A lot to be said about both guys. Brooks Koepka, Tiger Woods. Brooks Koepka. He's won 2 majors this year. I'd say it is safe to say that he's going to be happy with his season, no matter what happens over the next 4 weeks. For that reason, I am 100% okay with fading him. I'd rather go up to Jason Day. I'd rather go down to a multitude of names below him. There's no saying that he can't win this event, because he can. He can win any event, and I think we've been proven that time and time again. The guy wins majors, he wins big tournaments. I don't know if the first tournament of the playoffs that he could technically withdraw from and be quite fine. He could withdraw next week too and be fine. I think that makes him a risky play. He doesn't have a lot at stake here. He's got everything he needs secured. He could kick his feet up and go drink his Michelob Ultra and post on Instagram about Michelob Ultra and be happy. Tiger Woods, next guy down, 10-1. I love the price, but I hate the driver. If you watch the PGA Championship, you know he can't hit a fairway if his life depended on it. That is going to screw him so bad this week. Maybe he's been working on his driver the past week, but I kind of doubt that. I'm thinking Tiger Woods was at home relaxing and icing his body. I think it's going to be very, very tough for him over the next month to keep everything in check. It's not a major. We know he's got the hunger for the majors. He doesn't need the 10 mil. I think he does want to win a tournament, but I'm not convinced on him. It could be an interesting GPP play, because it is Tiger Woods and you're going to want something to root for when he's top 10 heading into Sunday. But from a DFS perspective, I just don't love him here. Jumping down under 10K, Justin Rose is one of my favorite plays in the entire field here. He's my number one rank in terms of what I've got laid out in front of me here. If we're looking at those two stats I keep mentioning, green regulations and fairways, he's right up there in both of them. And that's one of the things that is really, really making him stand out to me. Let me get some more specific numbers on him. Fairways, 15th. DraftKings points, 4th. Birdie or better, 3rd. Green and regulations, 14th. And his price is $9,900. Finished T30 here in 2014. Which is actually very interesting because in this tournament, he finished T2, T16, T10, and 13, 16, and 17. But as we know, different course. He didn't play in the WGC Bridgestone. He did finish T19 in the PGA Championship, T2 in the Open. I think he'll do just fine. I really do. He can hit fairways when he needs to hit fairways. He's as consistent as they come. I'm going to jump on down. I feel bad passing up any of these guys, but I can't be sitting here going into depth on every single player. So I'm just going to say John Rahm. I faded him in the past. I'm going to continue fading him. He had a good outing in the PGA Championship. He's a great player. He really is. He's going to win something big soon. I don't doubt that. 9-7 with the names around him, I'm going to fade. Jordan Spieth. One of those guys that's almost on the bubble. I wouldn't put him on the bubble. He's going to make it to next week. He's probably going to make it to the week after that, but he is no way, shape, or form guaranteed for East Lake. He's got some motivation. I think he wants this. I think he has motivation to keep performing. He seems to be coming back into form. T9 at the Open, T12 at the PGA Championship. But he did have a week right there in the middle. T60 at the WGC Bridgestone. As we know, it's a very limited field. He did very bad. This course, it should suit him if he can keep it straight off the tee, really. Which I know is just kind of a ridiculous statement because you just don't know. His putting has been the number one thing held against him for the entire year. He used to be the best. He's down with the worst now. He finished 2nd here last year, not at this course again. T22 at Ridgewood in 2014, but overall he's had success the first round of the playoffs. 9-6, I feel like he's finally priced at a place where I want to play him. We'll have to keep an eye on how many people are actually going to feel that same way. Francesco Molinari. I mentioned him with a couple others, Justin Rose, Webb Simpson. Fairways gain, FedEx Cup standings. He's another one of those guys that is standing out very well in both greens and regulation. Fairways gain, birdie or better gained. I love Molinari this week. He's just consistent. He's staying right in there every single week. He won the Open. People thought he'd fade away. Middle of the pack, WGC Bridgestone. Didn't even take a week off PGA Championship, T6. Didn't play in the Wyndham. I like that. He's rested up. He's ready to go. I think he has goals this week. I'm looking forward to it. But I think 9-5 is a fantastic price for him. Two more guys in the top in the 9,000 plus range are Tommy Fleetwood and Webb Simpson. I'm saying yes to both of them. Tommy Fleetwood is just one of the greatest off the tee players that we have right now. He's going to hit the fairway and he hits it a long way. And that's what we're looking for this week. If he can convert on some of those birdies, which he should definitely be able to, I think he's a great option at 9,400. Webb Simpson playing the best golf of his life this week. This year, sorry. He's gained strokes in this tournament. He's just been consistent. He can hit fairways. He can hit fairways better than 95% of the players on the PGA Tour this year. I think that says a ton about him right there. And he's had some success in the playoffs in the past. So I really do like Webb Simpson here. And I think 92 is still a great price for him. Last week you think, oh, maybe he's kind of underperforming. He stayed right in there, shot his way up to second. It was pretty incredible. Brant Snedeker is the next guy down. Fade. Adam Scott. I'm going to give you four high-end fades. We're talking 8,500 plus. My four fades would be Adam Scott, Brant Snedeker, Tiger Woods, and Brooks Koepka. That's where I stand right now. If anything changes, find me on Twitter at Donald Remington. Find me in the Slack chat. I'll let you know. In the interest of speeding things up right now, I'm going to hit some of my favorites in the 80. I guess I'll go below 9,000. Told you two of my fades, so I'm going to jump down to a couple of my favorites. Tony Finau. Still into him. Still on him. I'm going to keep playing Tony Finau. He's another guy who I think is very motivated, very talented, has the experience. A field like this doesn't faze him. We've seen him perform in majors. We've seen him perform in the playoffs before half the world knew who he was. 8,500 is right in that price range that we love seeing Tony Finau. So I'm all about him. Love him this week. I'm going to stay on him. Zach Johnson actually a little bit above him at 87. The only thing that worries me here is the distance, but refer back to what I said earlier in terms of accuracy is distance. Zach Johnson is back on track. His past three outings have been in large fields / majors. He's finished T17, T17, T19. Gained strokes there. Gained strokes in the past 5 years of this tournament. T22 last time out at Ridgewood. Love it. I initially had Patrick Reed down as a fade. I'm rethinking that now that I look at his history at the beginning of the playoffs. T9 at Ridgewood in 2014. Champion in 2016. T20 last year. Gained strokes. Boom, boom, boom. I wanted to list Patrick Reed as a fade because he doesn't seem himself the past few weeks. But that's where Patrick Reed comes out of nowhere and just wins. When people stop thinking about him. So I've officially changed my mind to think Patrick Reed is an interesting GPP play, and I'm probably going to have a part of him. The next two guys are just my classic accuracy plays. Love them every time. You need accuracy. And that's what we're focusing on here. Both have great tournament history. Both performed well the last time we were at Ridgewood, which only further supports the fact that they are the type of player that fits this course. Paul Casey and Matt Kuchar. Matt Kuchar has been on and off, to say the least. Paul Casey over the last 3-4 weeks. Very similar. At 83 and 8,200, I think they're definitely worth a play. Last person in the eights I want to talk about is Bubba Watson. Again, referring back to the quote from earlier, we're looking for somebody who can work the ball both ways. Bubba. That's Bubba. His worst finish in the past 5 years in this event is a T30. Past 3 years, T10, T13, T3, lone third. At 8,000, three wins on tour this season. Bubba Watson, I'm ready to take Bubba again. I think his ownership is probably going to be quite decent. There's some names below him, and he's missed three of his last four. He's missed three cuts in his past four starts, which is pretty terrible. It's pretty terrible, but this is the playoffs, and a lot of things can change heading in. Heading to the below 9,000 range. First three guys that stand out to me right now: Xander Schauffele, Ian Poulter, and Kevin Na. Schauffele, it's a strong field. He's a great golfer. That's all that needs to be said. He performs in strong fields. He performs in majors. Finished T17 in this event last year as a rookie, and then he won the Tour Championship. Like, come on. The postseason is what he likes. He likes the pressure. He likes the field. 7,800. Come on. Come on. Yes. He finished T2 at the Open. T35 at the PGA Championship. How could you not? Love it. Ian Poulter. Not quite as enthusiastic with Ian Poulter here. I just think he's playing well. He's got a little something to prove in terms of being a sure thing for the Ryder Cup. Technically in the bubble, he'll be on the team one way or another. I can guarantee you that. But a good showing here would definitely be helpful. Kevin Na, I think the number one thing people worry about is a withdrawal. Just a random bad week, whatever it is. He's done well at this tournament. He finished T9 the last time out at Ridgewood. He's been hitting fairways. When he won a month ago, he was just striping it down the fairway, hitting beautiful approaches, and he was draining putts. I think he's totally capable of that any given week, and 7,600 is a fantastic price for him. We're going to hop on down from there. Three guys I want to play. Ryan Moore, staying on him. The epitome of accuracy, the epitome of hitting fairways. If he hits in every single fairway, how much trouble can he possibly get himself into? Not very much. Love it. From here on out, things pretty much turn into non-sure things / GPP plays. So I'm going to go pretty quickly through here. Some guys I'm keeping an eye on. Bryson DeChambeau at 7,400. He has been on and off. As of late, more so off. Something's been a little strange with him, and it scares me. If you talked to me about this exact field and this exact tournament 4 weeks ago, I would have said, hell yeah. 7,400, are you kidding me? At this point in time, I think it is a interesting play. But I'm leaning towards yes. Ben on 7,400. Another guy who I just think is consistent and I'm not scared to play. Kevin Kisner, loving him lately. he's due to do something big. He just needs to finish one of these events off. He really does. I think he's fully capable of it. He's shown us he can go low. He's shown us he can go low two or three rounds and comes up a little short. So I'm waiting for that, and I'm confident that it's going to be here soon. Kyle Stanley surprisingly ranked out very well in both greens and regulation and fairways. Fairways especially, which really surprised me. He doesn't hit the ball very long, but he hits fairways. And he hits greens. I'm going to put him in the Ryan Moore category here and say it's a safe enough play. Less safe than Ryan Moore, but $7,300 is a great price. You got to mention Phil at $7,300. Like, what kind of price is that for Phil Mickelson? Pure price play right there. Phil Mickelson, yes, please give him to me. You put him and Bubba next to each other as the lefties that can hit the ball in any direction, have an interesting short game. Phil's going to have a better short game. He's going to get up and down more often. He's going to make putts. Like $7,300 versus Bubba at 8,000. Both have played in this tournament a million times. I mean, $700 price savings there for Phil. I'm gonna take that. Four more at 7,100 and below. I think they're all very interesting plays. Two I like more than the other two. Charles Howell, Brian Gay, Emiliano Grillo, CT Pan. Accurate. Capable of getting birdies. They're going to keep it in the fairway. They're not going to get themselves into huge amounts of trouble. The two I'm very interested in this week are Brian Gay and Emiliano Grillo. Greens and regulations. Fairways, boom, boom, yes, please. Charles Howell, I think he's going to be in there, but I don't know how high his upside is. CT Pan, kind of the same thing there. And I said that last week, and obviously I ended up regretting that. He finished in second. But you just keep seeing that, oh, CT Pan. Stats out so well, he's the hype of the DFS world, and he can't even get a top 10. And I just got sick of that, and I was like, why the hell do people keep talking about CT Pan if he can't finish in the top 10? Super annoying. Well, sure enough, he did. He's been playing well all season, so $7,000 is a great price for him. But in this field, at this course, I am not fully sold. I'll be digging into that a little more. But right now, my favorites, Brian Gay, Emiliano Grillo, 71 and 7,000. We're going to jump down into the sub-7K region here, which is not at all necessary if you're trying to be smart this week. But it can surely free up some space up top, which is always good. And I've got some key plays down here that I actually really like. Harold Varner. HV3. I'm going to stay on him here. I think he disappointed enough people last week that they're going to like get off of him here. This guy's playing well. I think he's feeling himself. He had one little week off there. He made the cut. He was doing fine. He was right in there. He had one bad round. Let's see. I should have it right here in front of me. I don't have it right here in front of me. But HV3, I'm sticking with him here. He's got a little experience in the playoffs. T20 in this tournament last year. I'd take that. Sure would at 6,900. Ryan Palmer. Very risky play. Sure to be low owned. He's got a great history at Ridgewood. He's got a great history in this tournament. Not in it last year, but the past 2 years, T13 and T6. I love that. Chris Kirk, the chalk of last week, who performed well enough, is down to 6,800. It's hard to ignore that. We He's going to keep the ball in play. Another one I'll be digging into. Two more higher sixes, Charlie Hoffman and Chez Reavie. Charlie Hoffman just deserves to be priced higher. His playoff performances are good. T17, T13, T62, T30, and 70. The past 5 years has gained strokes in 5 years at this event. T30 the last time out at Ridgewood. You look at his social media. He's feeling himself. He's playing well. I think he's a great play. I really do. 6,800 is like Charlie Hoffman at 6,800. Come on. Come on. Chez Reavie. Yes. 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 6,800 for Chez. Chez. He's actually been also coming into form, finally. Because I was on him for so long. Then he kind of disappeared and started playing some ugly golf for a while. Finished T12 at the PGA Championship. He can hit the ball straight. And that's what we need here. If you can make some of those birdie putts, you're going to see him right up there. And I'm going to love it. Finished T31 and T10 the past 2 years. Great. Great, great, great. Final two names of this week's podcast. Can you guess them? Maybe. Probably. 6,600 Andrew Putnam. This guy. Another guy I've been on all year. I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Unfortunately, his win came in a secondary event that I did not even know was going on. The Barracuda. Not medal play, but I always forget what it's called. Looks awfully opposite of the way golf is normally scored. But guess what? He won. And he's playing great. And he is top 20 in both my key stats of the week of greens and regulation, fairways. He's up there in birdies. 6,600. Come on. Yes, please. And last but not least, I just have to imagine he's going to be popular this week. I have not looked into ownership at all yet. Ryan Armour, 6,500. He was top 10 last week. Maybe 11th. He just keeps playing well. And he keeps hitting it in the fairway. And I love it. I think he's won a lot of people a lot of money this year. And there's no reason to ignore that. With that said, I'm going to wrap this up. Thank you for listening. Patreon.com/lineuplogic. Join the Slack chat. Hit me up. Hit me up on Twitter at Donald Remington. D-O-N-A-L-D. Remington, R-E-M-I-N-G-T-O-N. Anytime, any questions, anything. Be doing a lot of thinking about this over the next couple days, and then we got 3 more weeks of fantastic fantasy sports, fantasy golf coming at you. In that Slack chat, we got everything. Thanks again for listening, and I will see you all next week. Good luck.